are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCK15 and get yourself 50% off your next order. Happy Friday and welcome back to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, San Antonio Spurs writer and TGIF. Hope you're having a great day. Hey, look, full disclosure, this show is recorded before last night's game against the Pistons. So just in case you're wondering why we're not talking about it, that's exactly why. But we're going to be talking about your San Antonio Spurs and specifically the T word, tanking. Is this team tanking because of the rotations that has Spurs fans baffled? Or is this team pretty much straight going for the playoffs? Not the play-in, the playoffs. And also, we're going to give a little love to Drew Eubanks. His play of late has earned him a lot of minutes. What to say about him? What about Dang? What about even Vassell? Do that and more. I'm joined by ESPN San Antonio's very own, and he's the co-host of the Saturday Morning Hangover, James Pledger, making his weekly spot here on Lowe's. James, welcome back to the Locked On Spurs. And man, you got Spurs fans fired up with a couple things you're saying on social media.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I just don't know why it's getting them riled up. Maybe they're so caught in their old ways.
Well, here's the thing. The T word, tanking. A lot of Spurs fans are throwing it out there. They're saying this team has to be tanking, James, because why are they not playing Vassell? We'll talk about him later. Why are they losing games the way they're losing? The last game against Miami, you're competitive with them and then just the wheels come off. Pop's blowing it. He's doing it on purpose. James, you're making it very clear. This team is not tanking.
No, this isn't a tank. Look, we were successful and championship contenders for over two decades. And before that, before the one tank they actually did that worked, they were also a playoff team every single year. And they were usually a highly ranked playoff team because David Robinson was really, really, really good. They don't have a really, really, really good player. They especially don't have three really, really, really good players right now. This is just a bunch of decent players that are playing about the way a team of this construction should play. They're a 500 team. There's no tank. There's no secret lineup. He's not playing Devin Vassell because he's trying to tank the season. No. If they were, they wouldn't win the games in the fashion that they do throughout the season. You'd tank much better than you're tanking now. You'd tank like you tanked when you got Tim Duncan.
Yeah. We alluded to it to start the show. The players have been vocal about it. You heard what DeMar DeRozan had to say after the loss to Miami. He said it flat out, and I'll give you the quote here. As long as we have the opportunity to be able to get to the playoffs, that's our goal, and we have to fight for that goal and to make it to the playoffs. He went on to say that he also feels this team is not a 500 team, that he feels they were above a 500 team. Now, before we address
but
here you have DeMar DeRozan, perhaps their best player on the roster. He's flat out saying it, they're gunning for the playoffs. But my question to you, and you've probably seen it with Spurs fans of late, why even make the playoffs anyway? Why even do that? Just go ahead and call it a season. Let Trey Jones, Luka, and Vassell just have their burn, and we'll get the draft. We're in the draft. We get a higher pick. I think you made it very clear. It's already too late to tank to move up into the top 10. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, because other teams have already gone that route in both the East and Western Conference. You can't catch any of those teams. Maybe you can slip out of the playoffs, but even then, you're four games up on the next closest team, and Golden State just lost in front of you as well. So you're not losing ground to anyone. Everyone is who they are. This isn't a team that's trying to lose. It's trying to win. It's just not a very good team because, let's face it, Spurs fans have been lulled into this sense of, well, there's a master plan here. There's this greater thing at bay. No, this is just who the Spurs are. And in deeper fact, this is just who Greg Popovich is. You can see when Devin Vassell is on the court, his plus-minus is amazing. He is a great defender. He adds floor spacing. Oh, by the way, those are two things that were missing last night when they lost the other night to the Heat. So
yeah, Miami, yeah.
Floor spacing, three-point shooting. When you're 10 of 35 and shooting 28.6% from behind the arc, you probably could have used somebody that's a little bit better of a three-point shooter out on the floor than the players you had out there. But regardless.
Historically, Popovich has done this.
Historically, he does it with all the young guys. And it's what
if you're a young guy in the Spurs system, you're not getting run.
And we saw it last year, too. The only reason it changed is because Pop had his hand forced in the bubble because all his vets were hurt.
Nope, James, you there?
Yeah, did you lose me?
I lost you for like a quick second. All right, we'll pick it up from there. Three, two, one. Absolutely. You think there were just those interfering factors last season, the pandemic. They just needed bodies. And then, you know, I think at that point when the bubble game started, it was already a foregone conclusion they were not going to get the playoffs. I mean, it would have to take, like, they had to, like, run the table and then get help. And I think Pop knew that. So you have that scenario that played into his hand as well as the team just, you know, playoffs likely not going to happen. But that's where Spurs fans are coming in now. They're saying, look, this team is not going to go for the title. They're not going to be in the Western Conference Finals, let alone maybe the semifinals. So why even go for it? Why even do it? James, what is the value of this team just getting into the playoff, the play-in tournament at minimum?
It's hugely valuable. If you look at Pop's ways and the way he does things and the way he builds champions and championship teams, along the way, we always talked about, well, they need to go after this guy. They need to fix this hole. They need to do this. And Pop was always, no, we don't skip steps. You know, this is a team that has to learn and come together and play together, right? And there has to be a level of continuity. Well, I mean, young guys were never a part of that continuity, and it's the same now as it was then. Pop is stuck in his ways of veterans leading the way and young guys not getting run until, you know, 3 years in, which, oddly enough, Drew Eubanks starting to get some run, Lonnie Walker starting to get some run, both in their third season.
Yeah, there is a pattern. There's a method to Pop's madness. And by now, and how many years he's been coaching this team, Spurs fans should not be too shocked that it's going right now to...
Not shocked, just frustrated.
Right. And that's the thing. I think, shocked in the sense of they shouldn't be shocked that Pop is taking this approach with the young guys like Vassell. But at the same time, there is proof that it benefits Drew Eubanks, as you mentioned, and Lonnie Walker. They're now coming to their own. Popovich glowed about Lonnie pregame versus Miami, saying that he's finally getting it, that he's learning how to play with teammates, that he's learning how to play within himself. So they see that development path. But I argue this, shouldn't Pop maybe bend a little bit, considering you mentioned this team does not have stars, does not have that star power? Well, maybe a more uptick in minutes will get them close to being an all-star, or at least something of a person or player that teams really have to key in on. It's the best tasting protein bar ever. With 18 amazing flavors, 6 new ones, including cookies and cream, carrot cake, you get it all. And all those bars are covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew. They're great for the health conscious person. And if you're looking to maintain weight, lose weight while indulging in a delicious treat, well, Built Bar is just for you. I've gone through boxes, many boxes, and I'm still going through them right now. They taste absolutely great, and it's a great alternative to an unhealthy snack. Right now, you want to go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKED15, get yourself 15% off your next order. Once again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off BuiltBar.com. I urge you to go right now. Once again, that is BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKED15.
Sure, and I think players like Devin Vassell should. It feels like he's earned his minutes. It feels like any time he's on the floor, he is a plus for the San Antonio Spurs in multiple ways, both on the defensive end and offensively, because of how he just fits into an offense. He doesn't need the ball. He doesn't need his shots. He lets them come to him within the offense. Nothing feels forced when Devin Vassell is in the game, and you can tell by his plus-minus that is a fact. And it becomes very frustrating, the fact that he has been regulated to DNP CDs and, you know, we're down 15 with 3 minutes left. All right, go ahead and get in there, Devin, along with Trey and Gorgui Dieng and Luca. Yeah. You see with the, all right, the game's out of hand, we're putting these guys in, kind of. You could see it a few nights ago against Indiana. There was a perfect opportunity coming off of that huge win over Phoenix where he just balled out to get him minutes, as they're up 14 there in the first half, and you can put someone like Devin in, get him some run as you're up big, maybe increase that lead even more. But instead, because they're playing well, he's stuck with his veterans and that unit.
What do you make of the situation with Luka? Yeah, here's a guy who played great with Austin in the G League bubble, gets recalled, has a couple of great games, you know, on both ends of the court. Popovich praises him, tells the world that, yes, Luka's earned the minutes. He's going to see it. And then so far, it's been kind of a ghost town. Nothing out of Luka. Why is that happening to him when he's, what, in his second season already? He's not getting at least some sort of minutes, even if it's sparingly throughout the game. I mean, sometimes he's just glued to the bench, or he's getting those DNP CDs.
Yeah, and when he was getting those minutes, what was the theme?
Boy, you're talking about a blowout?
No. They literally had to play him because half the roster was in health and safety protocols at the time. Pop will not deviate from his ways unless he is physically forced into having to do so.
But what do you say? How much of an impact, just confidence-wise and mentally, does this take on the young guys? I mean, these young guys, when they come to San Antonio, they have to know that their number likely is not going to be called, unless you're, you know, a rare, you know, generational player, Tim Duncan, you know, Kawhi Leonard. If you're not that level... Keldon Johnson, yeah, you're not that level, you know, you're not going to sniff the court. It makes you wonder, like, if, you know, in today's NBA, where getting that playing time is good for your brand, you know, showing out is good for you and your team, your camp, your personal team, that is, then maybe San Antonio sometimes kind of gets in the way of that, as with Popovich at the helm.
Hey, look, Pop is who he is, and that's the way he's always coached, and it seems like it's going to be the way he's going to coach until he's done. The problem is, especially with young guys, what does building their brand mean to them? What does, you know, this is going to have implications on whether it's free agents, whether it's whether guys want to sign a second contract in San Antonio. I think the ramifications of some of these younger guys and just the way that players are today as opposed to the way they were 20 years ago, like, it's two different sets of player. And you got a rare type of player in Tim Duncan who is okay with being outside the spotlight and not doing commercials and not wanting to be in front of the media all the time and kind of living in the shadows despite being the huge superstar that he was. How many players like that are there in today's game, or in general? Because players coming up today are all about, you know, AAU, getting on the biggest, joining super teams. Like, this is the way the NBA is shifting. And I don't know if the Spurs are going to be able to keep or court players the way that they do things outside of just being a whole bunch of money in their lap.
Yeah, and, you know, with the Spurs, likely at this point in time in their franchise history, maybe to get good draft positioning, not great unless they bottom out, like you see like Houston's going through or other teams right now, you know, in order for them to get that once in a lifetime player or a quality player that, you know, commands respect on that court, you know, you're going to have to maybe flip some of these guys, maybe develop some of these guys to that. You know, you see Keldon Johnson's path is a good example. You know, he looks like he's on that path to becoming a guy that team scheme for. I talked to Luke Walton of the Kings about Keldon Johnson a few weeks ago, and he told me flat out that, yeah, we planned how to contain him. That's a good sign, isn't it? For at least Keldon in the sense, like, that's a good respectful thing. If teams are scheming against you and plotting against you, that's actually a good thing. And you're seeing it right now with Keldon.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the reason that despite him only being in his second season, that's the good thing about Keldon is, you know, there is obviously something there that the staff sees that they know they can't keep him off the court. And you would hope the same would be said for Devin Vassell, who has shown in multiple instances that he can also be that guy. But we haven't seen that to this point with him.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, James is making it very clear this Spurs team is not tanking, and he's not alone. The players are backing him up, too. If you have a few things to say to James about his thoughts and the Spurs and the state that they're in right now, make sure to follow him on Twitter at IamPledger right now. Let's shift gears a little bit and talk about DeMar DeRozan and his comments after the Miami game. Look, it was a very frustrating game. It was just like it was 1-2-3, the Spurs are getting killed. I mean, it was just that quick. They were competitive with the Miami for at least three and a half quarters until the wheels came off. Miami put the clamps down on defense. The Spurs lost their shooting touch. They only scored, 34 points in the entire second half? And then Tyler Hero decides to be a hero and just knock down everything he sees in the open court. My question to you, though, is, James, is what DeMar DeRozan had to say about this state of the team. And look, he's not going to say this team sucks, but he definitely did say that this team is not a 500 team, that they're above that. You disagree.
You are what your record says you are. And your record says that you're currently, you know, a 500 team. And that's okay because, let's face it, the Heat are an extremely talented team with Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson and Bam Adebayo, and they added Victor Oladipo, who missed that game the other night with an injury. But it was a team that was in the NBA Finals just last year. It's a really good team, and the Spurs' second half schedule is just so much tougher than the first part of their schedule was, both in strength of schedule and in just amount of games played.
Yeah, I get why DeMar DeRozan is not going to go out and just blast the team. Although sometimes I think maybe the Spurs do need that, some sort of swift kick in the butt to get them going. But nevertheless, you look at what DeMar had to say. He says, quote, "We have spurts where we show and compete with the best of the teams, and we show why we're a great team. But for some reason, every time we come home, we kind of struggle." That right there, the fact that they can't protect home court is a sign of not a above 500 team, let alone a team that's going to make the playoffs. Now, granted, yes, every team this year is having issues at home, but for the Spurs, getting those wins in their own gym is more valuable if they really want to chase that playoffs and beyond, James. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Look, football may be over, but you got the NBA, your Spurs, the NHL, they're in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. You get real-time updated odds and props from almost anything you can imagine. And BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's frankly the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. What I want you to do right now is head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today and get yourself a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts, and use promo code LOCKEDON.
Yeah. I don't know that home court even matters. I think it's better that this team goes on the road. right now, just with the way that they're playing. I think they feel more comfortable on the road. They're in more of a routine when they're on the road with the bus trips and the schedule and the hotels, and everything is a more stringent schedule on the road than it probably is at home, where you just kind of arrive to the gym, you have your home life, you're doing your things while you're in town, and it's much easier to form a routine when you're on the road and things have to be more kind of laid out for you. And that's probably, especially with this team, why we're seeing better performances on the road.
You look
the
at
NBA for that fact.
Right. You look at the Spurs team, and I do agree with DeMar in the sense of when you do see the team play well, you're like, whoa, where has this been? Seriously, you're like, sure. Whoa, where has this Spurs team been? But for me, there's too far a few between, and that there is itself of a team that is at 500 or maybe a little below because they don't know how to sustain that. They cannot be consistent, James.
Sure, but where do we see them struggle at home the most? What are the issues that we see them struggle, and where are the issues when we see them thrive? We usually see them thrive when they're shooting the three ball well and they look rested, and we see them struggle when they look tired, like on the second end of a back-to-back, or when, you know, the three-point shot isn't falling, or they look like they have tired legs and they're not rotating defensively well. And that's part of, let's face it, Pop's playing a lot of veterans, a lot of minutes, and legs get tired the longer in your career you go when you play all these back-to-backs.
Yeah, and look, it's almost like the team is doing two things at once. They're developing these younger guys, but at the same time, they're going to chase the playoffs, and at the same time, they're not tanking. They're trying to do all this at once. It's easy to tank. You just put in some oddball rotations, like very curious games, you know, or have the occasional, oh, oops, I turned the ball over. Oopsies.
You mean like a Brim Forbes, Marco Bellinelli lineup?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So, but they're not doing that. You're seeing them fight till the bitter end. You're seeing them try to get wins. You see them post game really looking a little flat. And now, I mean, you talk about a different era in Spurs. Yeah, very dejected. But at the same time, they're so young, they're trying to remain as optimistic as possible. Whenever Keldon does pregame chats, he has a big old smile on his face. He'll openly admit that, yeah, we're taking plays off. That's not good. And yeah, we lost a game we shouldn't have. And then he puts a big old smile on his face. It's like they're trying to remain positive. And you see how different it is. You see those kind of reactions from the young fans. Even Derek White, he says it is what it is, but then he carries on as if, you know, we got to just move on. But then you look at Rudy Gay or DeMar DeRozan.
I keep hearing this term from you, Jeff, and Spurs fans in general, is this team is so young. This team is really young. And while true, is it? Because if you look at the guys getting minutes, Rudy's in his 17th year. DeMar and Patty are in their 12th year. Derek's in his 4th year. Murray and Yock are both in their 5th year. The only young guys getting consistent minutes are Keldon and Lonnie and Eubanks, who are both in their 3rd year. I mean,
well, how about this?
There's a lot of youth, but none of that youth is getting run.
Well, maybe the sense of young, like in, think of it like in dog years, like they're young, but at the same time, they're old. Like physically, yeah, they're older. They're in their 20s. They're like approaching their mid 20s, but they're young in NBA experience. And maybe that's like,
In terms of NBA experience, at what point do you go from being a young to a vet? Because a lot of people look at guys like Murray and Yock and Derek White, who are all, you know, 4 and 5 years in, and start calling them veterans all of a sudden.
I think it's too because of that developmental path. Like when you stash Derek White in Austin for a year, year and a half, maybe, in the eyes, their clock, their NBA clock doesn't start until they're averaging about what Derek White is averaging since last season till now. I think that's kind of the differential that Spurs fans look at. They say, okay, yeah, his NBA clock didn't start until his second and a half season, something like that. I think that's where they think it's young and NBA experience. But you're right. You know, you got a guy like DeJounte Murray. I think it was like a few weeks ago or maybe last month, I mentioned on Locked On Spurs how the Murray is a veteran. And I forget who it was. Maybe you. No, it wasn't you. It was, I think I forgot who it was, but somebody was like, you consider him a veteran? He's young. And I'm like, yeah. Well, yeah, he's a veteran.
He's one of the elder statesmen of this team.
Yeah.
He's definitely been here longer than Yak and DeMar, and he's been here longer than Rudy, and he's, you know, been here longer than Derek White. And Derek White, I consider a veteran on this team as well. Like, they're part of the core of this team. And while that core is only 5 years in, I mean, they've been together. They've been playing. So this inconsistency is by their own doing. If they're not getting burned together, that's because of the way the Spurs are handling things, and that's where the continuity issues are arising. You should be getting these guys more time together on the floor if that is indeed the future of this team.
We're running out of time here, but just going to talk about one of the young guys that's really been coming on late, and that is Drew Eubanks. Look, he's definitely earning the spike in minutes. He's playing rough and tumble ball. You know, sometimes I think the Spurs do need that type of enforcer, kind of a brute in the middle, and he's definitely doing that. And he occasionally knocks down, not every game, but occasionally started feeling more confident with that little mid-range hook shot, which I'd love to see him develop more. Your thoughts on Eubanks, what are you seeing out of him of late, and is he going to be in this rotation as the season continues?
Yeah, I think he's cemented himself a spot in the rotation, and he'll be the second big to, you know, back up Jakob Poeltl as the season goes on. And remember last season in the bubble when we were talking about this team and the Drew Eubanks the Jakob Poeltl contract talk was coming up, and I was like, look, you can re-sign Eubanks cheap, and if you look at his plus-minus and his advanced statistics, they're very on par with what Jakob Poeltl does. So when Eubanks comes in for Jak, there's little fall off in terms of, you know, the energy and the way that the team performs on both offense and defense, just because his metrics showed in the little sample size that he initially played in the bubble, and that was possibly what he could bring, and he could be equal to or just slightly below what Jakob Poeltl gave you. And he has proven that with the more minutes he's gotten here lately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're seeing him be a little bit more diverse on the offensive end. We mentioned the hook shot. He's done that a couple of times. He's taken a mid-range shot. I joke that the Spurs should have retired his jersey right then and there when he knocked down that mid-range. But you look at what he does on the defensive end. I think that is really, really important. I went to Three Steps Basket. It's a good friend of Locked On Spurs here. And they provided some information about Drew Eubanks. And now, mind you, this was before the Miami game, but it gives you an idea of his impact. So we're talking about the Spurs block percentage. Per defensive play, he averages about a 5% block percentage. That's tops on the roster. And per shot attempt by opponents, it's a 5.4% shot he's going to block it. And that's over a guy like Jakob Poeltl and Derek White. Now, granted, it is a small sample size, but it gives you an idea of his impact on the defensive end, where sometimes the Spurs need a little kick in the butt on the defensive end, James.
Yeah, and he's one of those guys that does the dirty work, much like Jakob, much like Derek White on defense. He's not afraid to get in there, take a charge, mix it up, get in passing lanes, and really just, if not even blocking, redirecting shots.
Yeah, and you like that he has already some good chemistry with the young guys. They play together for most of them in Austin, him and Derek White, him and Keldon. I spoke to Keldon Johnson about Eubanks. Keldon Johnson says, you know what, I'm proud to see his development. He says, I remember his development in Austin, and it's paying off. It circles back to what we talked about to start the show, James. Even Keldon Johnson is seeing that developmental path starting to bud in a positive way for Eubanks, James.
Yeah, and it paid off, and it worked. But the problem is we're not seeing it. Like, if Devin Vassell wasn't going to get any burn, why wasn't he in Austin? If Devin Vassell is not getting any minutes, what's his development like? where is he going to get his development? Because you're not practicing right now either because of all these back-to-backs and 3 and 4 and every other night. You're not getting practice time with these young guys either. So that's also part of the issue with, you know, you got to start getting some of these guys on the court because that's just the way this NBA season is playing out.
If it was a normal NBA season, do you think Vassell is staple to the bench or in Austin?
I think he's up and down most of the year. Kind of the way Keldon was his rookie year. You'd see him in Austin. They'd bring him up for a little bit. He'd get in at the end of games and blowouts one way or the other. And kind of the same treatment he's getting right now, only he'd be up and down from Austin doing that.
Yeah, but at least in that situation, he's getting some tick as opposed to just being stapled. But nevertheless, hey, if that's still valuable too, I'm pretty sure, you know, him watching the team, you know, it's just like a student back when you and I were going to school, you know, there's your internships and you watch and you observe and you take notes. And once in a while, your mentor will say, okay, you could do this. You know, and I think that's the same approach that Popovich is taking with these young guys. But it begs the question,
sure,
what happened to Gorgie?
At the same time, you say that, doesn't everybody learn differently? Don't some people learn better by doing than watching and learning from their mistakes?
Yeah.
Or building confidence on good games like they had in Phoenix?
Well, that's what Pop's been doing for years, and he's going to continue doing it until, like you mentioned, until he hangs it up. But then you ask, like, what happened to Gorgie? Remember the reaction from the fan base? Oh, we got the guy. He's here. And hasn't really paid out. And his injury pretty much paved the way for Eubanks, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. And that's great for Drew. But at the same time, the fact that Gorgie just can't get on the court, it's, you know, we keep talking about things this team is missing. And like last night, when you're 10 of 35 from three, a guy like Gorgie Dang can spread the floor and at least offer some of that. And if his shoulder is healthy and better, he provides what, you know, a lot of this team doesn't provide, which is floor spacing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that shoulder injury is still bothering him. When he did come back to play after that first time, he did a pregame session with media, and his shoulder was completely wrapped up. I mean, it looked like Maggie Simpson when she went out on the snow when Mark Simpson packed her with every single coat available. Looked like that. You hope that Gorgie will, his play and his style of playing, the three-point shooting will pay off more than likely in the play-in tournament, because all signs are pointing to the Spurs are going to be among the 7, 8, 9, 10 teams that are going to make it. So hopefully that's when his experience will pay off. But you know Pop, he's going to tighten those rotations. And you can definitely, nobody should be surprised if he leans on Gorgie versus Eubanks, if Gorgie's obviously 100% healthy in those tight game play-in situations, James.
Or Pop goes with what he knows and he leans on Eubanks because Eubanks is already getting those minutes. And you got to remember, Gorgie's still new to this team. He's what, 3 weeks in now?
Yeah. Yeah, he's still new, and he's obviously not sniffing the court because of that injury. And you mentioned minimal practice, maybe no practice at all. The crazy schedule. Look, they played Pistons last night, and they're back on the road again. So here we go again, this crazy
and
schedule.
The good news about the Spurs schedule is they only have 5 home games left.
Well, yeah, there's that. Yeah.
I think that's the good news that we need to take away from all this. If they truly are gunning for the playoffs, the fact that they have limited home games left when, what is it, 15 games left, 14 games left at this point?
Yeah, 15.
And
a couple more weeks
and you
left.
Almost have twice as many left on the road. And you're obviously much better on the road than you are at home. So that is a good thing for the Spurs.
Yeah, and then the way they went out and took care of Phoenix and Indiana. Now, granted, yes, Indiana was depleted, and Phoenix may have not been in the right mindset to take on San Antonio.
The Spurs were depleted against Phoenix.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. The Spurs going into that Phoenix game, and you know, with Phoenix not having the right mindset, they took advantage of that, and they really amped it up, and they stepped up. But you look at their remaining schedule, and they got some dates with some heavy hitters, and they still got Brooklyn. They got the surging Knicks. They still have the Phoenix twice still. You know, Phoenix, you don't want to, well, maybe by then it'll be a foregone conclusion and Phoenix is resting everybody. But, you know, they still got some heavy hitters on that schedule, James.
Yeah, their schedule is not great, but we've known that their second half schedule is not great since the second half started. We knew that it was packed with back-to-backs and 2 and 3 nights and stuff like that. And we also knew that they had a lot of tough teams, whereas early in the season, they didn't have as many above 500, top of the, I mean, they've got Utah in a back-to-back coming up in early May. They've got Phoenix, Boston, Miami again, New Orleans, who's right behind them and trying to make a push upwards, Portland, Milwaukee, Brooklyn, Phoenix with a back-to-back to close out the season. I mean, New York, who is on a tear right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What, New York, at the time of this recording, 8 in a row they won? 8 in a row. So, who knew the Knicks will start doing their resurgence back? Well, it's the Knicks, and we know who owns it. So, 3-2-1, everything would just blow up just as quickly as that, as long as Nolan is still
at that. I mean, you can say that, but Tom Thibodeau has got these guys playing great defense. Julius Randle is performing fantastically, and they've got a young core that is, you know, getting run, and they're showing what they've got as some of this young core comes together, mixed in with the vets like, you know, Randall and Rose. And then they got the young guys that RJ and Obi Toppin and Knox and players getting burned that are proving their worth.
Yeah. Well, the Spurs will definitely tangle with them later on this season, as the second half of their season is starting to wind down. Yeah, just a few more games left on the Spurs schedule, and we'll see how they fare as the season winds down. We're done talking. We want to hear from you. What do you think about the T-word tanking? Do you think the Spurs are tanking right now, or do you think it's really far gone conclusion? They can't do that, and it's playoffs or bust for them. Also, Drew Eubanks, Gorgui Dieng, what do you think of the youth? Do you agree or disagree with James? We need to know. And now Pledger is going to tell you everything you need to know about the Saturday Morning Hangover, how to tune in, as well as the Blitz.
Well, on the Blitz, we are there Monday through Friday as Jason, Rob, and myself will get you caught up on everything, whether it's Spurs, Cowboys, NFL Draft, Texans, and, of course, the Saturday Morning Hangover with myself and Jack Thompson, get you caught up on the week's work and look forward to the following week and get you ready for the weekend's games.
I love that running joke you have with Rob. It seems like every time it's appropriate, you always say, oh, is that the day you're going to have a dental appointment? Or was it that reoccurring thing?
It's either going to be a flare-up with his back going out, or he's going to have some dental surgery to take the day off.
By the way, you know, when I do tune into the Blitz, I love how Rob is just pretty open and honest about his flubs when he's reading ads. So, for example, he'll say something like, I'm making it up now. He doesn't obviously know ESPN SA does not have a sponsor with Built Bar, but using it for an example. You know, ESPN SA is brought to you by Blip Bar. Did I just say Blip Bar? Built Bar. You know, I love how he does that. He just rolls with it. But, yeah, go check out James Pledger at the Saturday Morning Hangover and, of course, him producing on the Blitz on ESPN San Antonio right now. As for me, you can make sure to subscribe to Locked On Spurs wherever you get your favorite podcast. And with the NFL draft fast approaching, the NFL teams at the Locked On Network, they're going all out. The Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 is presented by Locked On and Odyssey, and it's happening right now. You get analysis from NFL experts like Michael Irvin. Yes, Pledger, Michael Irvin is going to be on the Locked On Network. Jason Locked On Spora, he's there. And Brian Baldinger, our local experts on the NFL side for every team are going to be making some mock trades. You know, they're doing their picks for the next stars for their team. You want to search Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcast. Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. That's Odyssey, AUDACY. Go check it out right now. I figure you guys are going to be crazy busy once that mock draft, the NFL draft gets going.
Yeah, next week is going to be an insanely busy week, all week long, and finally wrap it up, you know, Monday and Tuesday, probably the following week after the draft happens. And put our final, you know, thoughts on what happened, who did what, and who succeeded, and then find out the following season whether we were right or not.
Simple enough. There you go. That's pretty much ESPN SA's complete coverage in a nutshell. So for James Pledger, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.